Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we've got a great guest for you, Stephen Bannoun from Israeli Live. And we're going to be talking about his show, a little bit about his background, because some of you say, Stephen, okay. And they say that with me, Dave. So we always get a few people that don't know who our guests are, but I'm sure most of you do. But we'll be going there and we're going to talk to some degree about HR 6090 and the spinoff events from that. This is certainly a volatile time. And really, for the people living in Israel, it's very volatile because they're very much in danger because of what's going on over there. And that does greatly concern me because, as you know, I'm the kind of Christian that says Abraham and Moses' descendants, special people, chosen people by God. And I firmly believe that and try to live that. So I am very worried. And we'll talk to Stephen about that very quickly, though. We're brought to you by Noble Gold. And there's a reason why I have sold for Noble Gold for 7 years, and I've been a customer for six. They're low pressure, they're professional, they're above board entirely with integrity, flawless integrity. And what they're going to do is help you avoid a 1929 moment. The Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 says if the banks are in trouble, they have every ability to take your money because you've been declared to be an unsecured creditor. And a lot of people don't know that. And that means your retirement if it's associated with the bank. So Noble Gold will help diversify you so you have much less of a risk. And if you're diversified, something can go down. You might take a little bit of a hit, but you won't have a catastrophic 1929 moment. And that's what I want to help you avoid. I'm a customer for a reason. Now, I've got to give this disclaimer courtesy of the FTC that they did not make Sam Bankman-Fried give, but we like to follow the law. And we want you to know that there's never any guarantees, and past performance cannot predict future expectations. But there's also a reason why I've been a customer for over 6 years. Let me give you a way that I can help you. No pressure, no obligation, no one's going to bug you. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com, and I will rush you out an electronic information sheet that says this is what Noble Gold can do for you. And this is how you go about getting started. And they lay it all out. And then their number is on there and you can call them. And they will never, ever, ever pressure you. DaveHodgesGold.com. Okay. Stephen really probably needs no introduction to almost all of you. But Stephen, I'm going to defer to you. I don't want to say anything that maybe I'm not supposed to reveal, but you have a pretty extensive intelligence background. Would you mind just sharing what you can share with the audience about what you've done there?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. Yeah, back in 19, well, actually, going back to probably 1982, 81, right in that area there, I began to get groomed by CIA people early on. Of course, I had no idea I was being groomed at the time. Once I graduated high school, they brought me into their ranks, began to train me. I basically worked the field with them from 1983 to 1991, and very interesting time. I can't go into a whole lot of detail about the things that we did back then, but I can tell you that it had a lot to do with, of course, South Central America, South America, mostly Central America, the Nicaragua case there. Of course, you can go back to the Iran-Contra affair. Although we were not directly tied into that with the people I worked with, we were still involved indirectly in that operation there as well. There was a lot of clandestine things going on with the government at that time in order to help fund the different battles that went around the world. Of course, I didn't know that at the time, that that's the reason why there was some I guess you can go back to like MENA, Arkansas, with the Clintons and the alleged affairs that they had with making sure certain products were being trafficked into America. But yeah, I saw that as well. And but at the time, I was always being told we were fighting the bad guys. We were dealing with Russian spies trying to enter into the United States illegally, kind of like what we have on the southern border now, but they can just come on over at the invitation of President Biden and do whatever they want to. But yeah, back then we were supposed to be trying to stop all that from happening. And so I spent 83 to 1991 during that time there. I would say if you really want to know a lot about what I did, all you have to do is read the book that Greg Palast wrote called The Greatest Democracy Money Could Ever Buy, and you would know a whole lot about what we did.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that, and I did regular law enforcement as well for a couple of years. That was courtesy of the CIA as well, though. I was an investigator as well. I mean, there's all kinds of things that they helped me get involved in for their purposes. So,
My
but anyway,
dad
yeah.
had a love-hate relationship with the CIA when he was working with captured German scientists. CIA always tried to infiltrate what they were doing. And he encountered some. He said, some are really good guys. And we're friends. He said some of them would sell their mother down the river for a nickel. And he was in
Yeah.
working with NIA as a contract guy at that time after he retired from the Navy. And he said, I don't see a lot of that in naval intelligence. He said, they really attract a very devilish group, but he goes, they'd have to carry out their more clandestine activities and their more legitimate activities. Good men and women work for them. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do agree with that. Unfortunately, I work with some of the pretty bad thugs, you'd say, that were in the government there. I know a lot about the Kennedy assassination as a result of that. But yeah, they will kill their own. There is no doubt about that. And keep in mind, even today, when I was working with a friend of mine who's kind of, he took an early retirement because of health issues, and he had worked with NSA, CIA, and of course Joint Chiefs of Staff, things like that. And one of the things that he had shared with me is that he said, Steve, he said, it's not like when you were in, he said, because he knew some of the colleagues that I worked with, and he said, it's not like in the old days when you guys were there, he said, we had our own assassins. He said, now, he said, we just take and hire some drug lord to come in there and do the dirty work for us. And he said, that way, if they get caught, who cares? Nobody will know the difference. But in the old days, we had our own thugs.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question about that. It's a technical question. I learned this recently from, well, I think Doug Thornton even knows this. He's my broadcast partner on the Doug and Dave Intel Report, former DHS supervisor, fought Antifa in Portland. I think he's the one that told me this, that the cartel now, when they come to do a hit, they can jam your cell phone signals. And the thinking is they got that from the CIA. Is that true?
They got that from the Chinese,
Oh, okay.
is how they got that. Yeah, what happened, and that was another interesting aspect as well, Dave, was the Chinese. They got involved with the drug cartel back, I want to say it was in the late 90s, early 2000s, and they began to work with the drug cartel. And what they were wanting is they wanted a laundry list of politicians that were involved in the drug smuggling operations. That because the Chinese knew the CIA had been involved in drug smuggling operations, bringing drugs into this country here in order to be able to raise money to buy weapons with. And so what they did is they wanted to get that laundry list to find out what politicians were involved. And as a result of that, they came in, they had a lot of money to be able to spend. And we're willing to give not only money but technology as well to the drug cartel, weapons, anything that they wanted. And yet they weren't coming there to buy drugs. They were only coming there to get that information. And so they began to fund the cartel in so many different ways with money, with cash, with weapons, with technology and stuff to be able to run their operations even better than what they were doing before, in exchange for that list. And then what they did is over time, they began to break down and compromise those politicians. Now, they never did it directly. The Chinese were very intelligent about how they did this. The Chinese began to use second and third party avenues to be able to get to these politicians and then compromise those politicians with that blackmail information that, by the way, this is what we have on you, and this is the money that you've been receiving in order to be able to fatten your wallet from all this drug money. But this is what we need you to do. And so we've got an enormous number of politicians that ended up going down the wrong road there and got bought out by the Chinese.
Is this before the Chinese became a partner with organizations like the WEF and the IMF and the UN. We know they are now. They're slated to be the world policemen. But were they independent of the global elite at the time you're talking about?
I don't know if they were independent of the global elite, but I know that this was part of what they wanted to do to undermine this nation. Because see, the Chinese don't necessarily want a war with this country because they want this country. But if they could take and subvert this country and weaken this country from within by dictating the policies in this country because they now have that upper hand, they'd be able to do so. And so they managed to pull that off. And one of the key examples that I saw, Dave, was when Trump was running for re-election, and he of course he lost. We had the voter fraud issue that came up, and when it came to Georgia, you would think a Republican governor would have actually tried to do something to, okay, let's see if this really is a fraud in our state.
Sure.
But instead, he went against Trump. That was really surprising by a lot of people. And then I got a call from Washington one day, and I was told, I brought the issue up. I said, why would we have a Republican governor go against Trump? He said, well, Steve, you know a whole lot about the power companies. And you know what they were doing back in the late 80s, mid 80s. He said, just look at the connection then to that governor, his family, and Georgia Power. And maybe that might help you to realize who's controlling him.
Yeah, I did a dive on Brian Kemp when he was uncooperative with an audit after the 2020 election, and that guy is up to his eyeballs in China. He's bad to, but we had the same thing in Arizona with Governor Doug Ducey. In fact, this is a story I don't think that can be told often enough. 2017, and this was reported to the South China Post, I believe that's the name of the paper, but it's widely been publicized. He was at the National Governors Association in 2017. The equivalent of the Chinese Chamber of Commerce was there. And Ducey is addressing the crowd and he goes, "We love doing business with China here in Arizona because we sell them rare earth minerals and that's what they need for their military." Now, the year was 2017. They threatened to nuke us three times that year that I could find in the media. I mean, I could not believe when I read that we had a Republican governor say that. But Ducey also sabotaged Trump on the election too, and the audit as well. In fact, in Arizona, there is no GOP. It's a uniparty. It's a total uniparty.
Right. And if you look, see another thing that back last year, end of last year, Governor Brian Kemp's chief of staff headed over to become the executive position with Georgia Power. And of course, at the time, I was being told that if I dug a little deeper, I would find out how much Governor Kemp's family was involved with Georgia Power. Well, Georgia Power, Gulf Power, and Alabama Power, all three were heavily involved in money laundering for the drugs that were coming into the United States back in the 80s. And, of course, nobody ever was able to prove it because they made sure they killed Jay Corton, who was the CFO for Gulf Power, who was going to blow the whistle on all of that. So they silenced him so that he could not reveal it. And I guess there was some at least 30 something politicians that were involved in getting kickbacks for that. And so, like I said, I was just told if you follow that trail there, then you'll know how come the Chinese could control him because the Chinese, again, they were looking for that laundry list of names there or who were involved in these drug operations. And so I think that's where the connection comes in is through the Georgia Power on that.
I think you're right. I want to, as a matter of personal curiosity, I want to return back to what you said about you knew quite a bit about JFK. And I won't go into a whole lot of detail here, but kind of start at the beginning. I'm of the opinion, and I'll tell you why, and then I'll let you take this notion apart, that Lee Oswald never fired a shot that day because the paraffin test given to him by the FBI was negative. He was a terrible marksman, failed his marksmanship test twice when he was in the Marine Corps. That part is part of the record. And I think he was a patsy. And I think he realized he knew it was going to happen. But I think at the last minute, he realized he was set up as the patsy. And that's why he made the run for it. Let me ask you, how do you view Oswald and all that?
Oswald was a patsy. It wasn't that he didn't have some connection to government agencies and possibly even working indirectly with the CIA at the time. CIA uses a lot of what would you call it there, Dave? You call that assets. And as far as I know, he may have been an asset for the CIA, but in that case there, he made a perfect patsy for them. When President Kennedy was killed, he was definitely a job that the CIA was involved in, and I know that the fatal shot that took him, that took the whole back of his head off, was taken from the manhole. Now, there were multiple shooters involved. It was not a single shot. As in fact, if you when we go back to the film that was done by Roger. Well, not Roger Stone, but Oliver Stone. His movie JFK was probably far more accurate than any film that I've ever seen, as far as from the knowledge that I had about the assassination. And one of my colleagues that I had, we talked about it so much. At one point, he said, "You know, they're going to pull up in front of our house one day, put hoods over us, and you and I are never going to be seen again." But I do believe, and of course the partner that I had has always believed as well, that my own partner that I had, he was much older than I was when I worked with with these guys, that he was the actual gunman that shot from that manhole.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. What do you make of Lucien Sarti? Because there are two pretty credible witnesses that place him at the scene at the grassy knoll. Was he part of the team?
He could have very well been. I was never, it was never given to me any information about other than that I worked with why they would use him. One, he was an assassin for them. He was back before the Bay of Pigs invasion. He had been sent in to be Castro, to infiltrate Castro's military. He became Castro's second lieutenant. He had pictures of him and Castro like they were best friends. And so he'd really worked his way up for that assassination attempt that he was going to do for the CIA to kill him. And when Kennedy pulled the plug on everything, it put his life in mortal danger at that point there. Of course, we know that President Kennedy said that he was going to disperse the CIA to the four winds of the earth there. And of course, I'll also just say my old boss. I won't call him by name there, but he actually, and they had to smuggle him out of the country. They actually he came out dressed as a nun, is how he was able to get out. I always thought to myself, he must have made the ugliest nun there ever was, but maybe that's how they got him out. So, but nonetheless, he got out. But his hatred for Kennedy from that day forward was just really, really bad, and he always had that bitter hatred for him. So I could see why they would choose him. And of course, secondly, he was a loner. But he always cut, the other bad, the other, or I shouldn't say, well, to me, it was a bad thing. The other thing about him was he didn't leave loose ends. If there was a loose end there, such as a witness, which is what we do see in a couple of the cases there, where they could see the grassy knoll, things like that. Well, I forget the two different people that ended up dead. That was his job. He would go mop up afterwards. He'd find out where the loose ends were, and they were killed.
And he was part of the cleanup crew. You know, one of the things, and as I look back on it, that was just so unbelievable was the how Jack Ruby died. I mean, not Jack Ruby, but well, him too. But how Lee Oswald died and how Ruby got in there. Here's a pimp, a drug dealer, owns a topless nightclub, and who are they keeping out from the Dallas police jail? It doesn't make any sense. And yet
Well,
the public accepted this, and I and. You know, my dad, when I was old enough to understand it, he was talking to me about it. And here's what my dad said, and I want to get your reaction to it. He said, "Son, they had a diary for Kennedy's killer, Bobby Kennedy's killer, and also Martin Luther King." He said, "Who killed one, killed them all." What do you think about that?
That, well, here's the funny thing. Was is Wallace that ran for governor of Alabama? Is that right?
Right.
And if you recall, he was shot, but the guy they claimed that shot him never had any gunpowder residue on his hand. And yet at point blank range, he managed to shoot so many other people in the process. I looked at the video footage of that, and the strangest thing that I ever saw was the guy that I knew was in a brief second of that of a clip of that right before the shooting took place. So, and I there are some other things about that particular candidacy that I knew about too when Wallace ran for governor of Alabama. And but I don't want to get into the details of that as of right now, but could it be? Yes. Especially when you've got an assassin that is as good as what he was. They finally faked his death in 1989 because so many people had been killed. And of course I can tell you, like when I went through training and stuff like that, I remember one particular item that we had that was very unique was a regular, looked like a regular 35 millimeter camera, and you'd put it up to your eye, go to take the pictures. The only difference is when you go to take the picture, you'd pull the trigger and it actually shoot as a gun. And the lens was a scope is basically what it come down to be. So
That's pretty amazing.
yeah, we had some old school technology, but in fact, this man here was he was like he had to have had a genius IQ because the things that were developed even by him were just astonishing. But yeah, we had taken the one friend of mine that was an old colleague as well. We had spent a lot of time really going over and talking about this the case there of Kennedy and stuff like that. I was actually looking to see if I could find any of my notes that where I'd taken some notes about that while we were talking about this.
Why do you think Kennedy was killed? Was it mostly Vietnam and the profits that would come out of Vietnam?
It had a lot to do with that. Of course, now the guy that I knew, and yeah, I do have those notes there. So, wow, goodness. Yeah, in some of these notes here, talking a lot about the bugging and stuff that was going on with all these different power companies. There was a lot of stuff that, I tell you mentioned Jack Ruby, and one of the things though, Dave, that a lot of people may not realize is that the CIA, even though they're not technically supposed to work in this country, they're very much involved in the
Oh, yeah,
affairs of in
of
this
course.
country.
Of course.
And every walk of life you can think of, the CIA has people there. Whether or not they technically work for the CIA or they're assets of the CIA, I'm talking about, I knew chief of police or chiefs of police, sheriffs, governors, senators, congressmen, I've been in a lot of different Congress and senators' offices and stuff. I knew Reuben Askew, governor of Florida. A lot of these people, I just knew them, and they may not know me now, may not even remember me because I was just basically the fly on the wall. We would walk in as if we owned the place, so to speak. No, in other words, not that anybody ever knew you. You walked in, they knew the guy that I was with. And nobody dared question anything. You went in, you had your meeting, you left. But normally, though, a lot of the meetings that were being done, though, that were being done secretly, were actually being in those days were being done back at the literally at the power companies in one of their rooms there, because we would go in and debug these rooms. And so I'll have to go back through all my notes here. I didn't realize I still
Yeah,
had all these
I
notes.
want to do a whole show on that, Maybe as we get towards an anniversary date later next fall. But let me just share this with you. My last broadcast on YouTube was on November 24th, and I covered the fact that Dorothy Kilgallen was going to go blow the lid off her words off the Kennedy assassination because Ruby had agreed to talk to her. And she ended up dying the same way Marilyn Monroe did, very suspicious circumstances. So I wrote about that, and then I added this in. I said the CIA is under mandate. It's a law, and they're ignoring it, that they should have already released all the Kennedy assassination files. Trump didn't make them do it. Biden didn't make them do it. And I said, we need to have a call for this. Everyone who was involved at the time is probably dead or really beyond the ability to prosecute. And I'm saying there's no reason not to let this out unless the CIA is going to use remnants of this plan to do something. Well, maybe there's some current figure they'd like to take out. And that was my last broadcast on YouTube. And here's what's interesting. I was represented by a group on YouTube, a private entity that brought me ads. And YouTube has to deal with them before they terminate a channel. I had no strikes. I was fully monetized. And whoop, I'm gone. We are going on 6 months out now. We're in the 6 month of this. And they still are giving this company the short shoulder. They're really trying to avoid sitting down with it because they know they broke their own rules and getting rid of me. And the thinking is that the CIA tapped YouTube on the shoulder and said, get rid of Hodges. So, and that's the prevailing opinion on our side of the fence. And this goes all the way over to the UK because the company I worked with was UK based. And I had to bring them up to date about the Kennedy assassination. They weren't quite as well versed as maybe an American group would be. And they said, well, Dave, you were kind of in dangerous territory, but you didn't violate their bylaws. They don't have any prohibition against that. And so they're still putting us off. It'll be interesting to see when he sits down and talks to them what they tell him. But I really think that this topic, and I'm just saying, okay, YouTube, you know what? You could have warned me, could have given me a strike. Next year on the 61st anniversary, I'm putting stuff out. I've held back. And by the way, I got the dead man switches. So anyway, that's my warning. Let's go to 6090. Okay, HR 6090, the Anti-Semitic Act, the Anti-Semitic Awareness Act. No reasonable person, Stephen, wants to see anyone of Jewish descent or in the Jewish religion to be persecuted. It's the people have suffered the most of anybody on the face of the earth, and nobody in their right mind wants to see this. But to say that you should not allow your students, and it's so vaguely worded, it could be your citizens, to criticize Israel, criticize their government as being authoritarian. I mean, what's your reaction to this? I was really concerned about the First Amendment.
That's what really concerns me the most is the whole aspect of the First Amendment, because anti-Semitism, I'm like you, Dave. I don't want to see Jewish people attacked. I don't want to see Jewish people go through more hardship than what they've been through in life. I mean, I've had a lot of extended family that went through the Holocaust. I've had family members in Auschwitz. But they were extended family for the most part for me because a lot of my family came here illegally back at in the early 1900s. So we've been here for quite a while now, and so for me it was just more distant cousins and stuff that went through these things. But nonetheless, at the same time, anti-Semitism is also being used in order to label people intentionally. There has been two different people, a former Knesset member that has called the anti-Semitism. She said it's a trick. She said that's what we do. If you're criticizing the Israeli government and we want to silence you, we label you an anti-Semite. A former Mossad agent, also the same thing. He come out and he brought that information out to the world as well. He said, if we got a reporter out there and he's starting to say things that are starting to bother us, that's causing us problems, he said we get in touch with his colleagues and stuff, and we label him an anti-Semite, And he said, and before you know it, he's labeled. He can't get it off of, he can't get it off himself, and he's done for. So what I'm seeing is that Netanyahu comes up, and he when he started seeing that the universities were getting a little bit more outspoken, and that some of the presidents of the universities were actually participating in these protests about the deaths of the children in Gaza, that bothered him, and he goes public about it and says, the United States needs to do something about this. You need to do more than what you're doing. And what really was sad was to see that the politicians caved right into his demand, in the different states, and they go in there with the police. There were professors that were arrested. In the state of Florida, they were shooting them with rubber bullets. They were using tear gas on the protesters. But now, at the same time, though, Dave, I'm also concerned, though, that those protests were being infiltrated, just like Black Lives Matter was infiltrated by people that, no doubt there were peaceful protesters in a lot of the black movements. But you get enough people that are infiltrators into that movement, or into a protest or whatever it may be, they can totally take control of that protest and turn it violent very quickly. And that's what I see with these colleges and universities, is that they've been hijacked. There are people that want to bring forth an agenda. And then the next thing you know, we're seeing anti-Semitism bill being passed here in the United States to define anti-Semitism, which ultimately will come against what people can say. People cannot, it's going to come to the place eventually where you will not be able to criticize Israel whatsoever. And
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Dave, I'll just throw this real quick and I'll pause on this. I was sitting here this morning thinking of the scripture, and I know it's in Daniel, says that he'd th think to change the times and the laws, and that it'll be given into his hand for a period of time. Now, typically, I know we have a more of a definitive idea of that, thinking of it more of a biblical idea of changing biblical laws and things like that, but maybe not. Maybe we are starting to see something prophetic in that regards there, because we have a foreign leader affecting the laws in our land. And that should be concern for anybody. If the people here make that decision, that so be it. But when a foreign leader makes it for you, that's troubling.
I totally agree. And the concern I had was this, and Doug and I talked about this on our show, the Intel Report. And we're like-minded. The Bible is very clear who the chosen people are, and we are both Christians, so we adhere to that doctrine. But what concerned us with this is so vague that we were concerned that let's say that you said the Jews were involved in the crucifixion of Christ. To me, it's a silly argument. I don't go there and I don't participate in that. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees were. Pontius Pilate was Roman, but he worked with these people and they conspired to have Christ killed. And the way that this law, well, soon to be a law when it passes the Senate, the way that this future law reads is that kind of speech could be stopped and could even be criminalized. And that concerns me. Even though it's not an argument I think it's worth making today, 2,000 years later, it's not the focus of what I do with ministry, but I still think people have the right to acknowledge that. And even if you're wrong, you have the right to say it. And so here's my concern. It's called bootstrapping. If they can keep you from talking about Israel, if they can keep you from saying anything negative about anyone who's Jewish, then where does it stop? Well, when does the next group become the privileged group and you can't talk about them? In fact, let me share this with you. And I did this presentation on John B. Wells' show a couple of weeks ago, and I was on Monday, but I was also on about 2 weeks before that. And what I've noticed is, and I said this on John Moore's show too, the definition of democracy is changed by the agencies. The agency levels are making laws illegally by their own administrative fiat. And what they have done is they've taken away democratic protections for our civil liberties, and they've changed the twist of the word democracy to protect democratic institutions that are privileged in their view. So you can't criticize the government. That's why DHS came out and they had mis and disinformation, but the big one was malinformation. You can't criticize the government, even if you're right, and you'll be a domestic terrorist as far as being labeled. And Stephen, what their justification is, you're undermining confidence in a democratic institution. We have gone that shift. And when you combine that notion with H.R. 6090, this is basically a way of shutting up all Christians. That's how I see it.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're trying to do. And the one thing that they would like to see done as well, and it's interesting how you brought up the way the bill is being worded there. There was, oh God, I forget his name now. We did a broadcast with him. Him and my wife more so got into the debate. I was wanting to get into it, but they never would let me talk. But anyway, it was over the idea of them wanting to rewrite the Bible,
Yes.
specifically the New Testament. And they're wanting to do away with what they consider to be anti-Semitic remarks made by Jesus, such as they're vipers, serpents, talking about the Pharisees, and the sages. And he really condemns them in there. And it was, gosh, not Sid Roth, but Michael. I forget Mike's last name, but anyway, but yeah, he had actually mentioned that, and so we ended up Michael Brown, that's who it was. Michael Brown brought that out, and he had mentioned in there, he was actually in support of it, but he kind of backed away from that once we had challenged him on it, and then of course we did a we I mean we had a cordial debate. We didn't, it wasn't, animosity or nothing like that. But at the same token, what really concerns me is that if you begin to start taking out or retranslating the Bible because you consider the Bible to have hate speech in there, and that people are using, these things like myself, there's a lot of teachings like that where I try to use it to help wake people up. Because what I look at, what I'm trying to deal with, is more of that elite system that's trying to run the government, where you do have clear prophecies that seem to indicate what we're seeing today in
Yes.
the Middle East is actually unfolding. And sadly enough, here's the sad thing, Dave. There is a lot of innocent Jews. People think October the 7th was bad. There are prophecies, not I don't consider them real prophecies, they're Talmudic prophecies, that they're saying another 6 million Jews have to die. Is
Thanks.
there something being staged that's going to cause a horrible slaughter of Jewish people in the state of Israel in the near future? I don't know, but that concerns me. Because you've got a lot of innocent Jewish people over there. And as I watch the radical moves that Netanyahu is making right now, totally unchecked, totally nobody seems to care. Nobody is stopping. Nobody is, he goes from Gaza. Now he's hitting Lebanon pretty hard here and there. But I think it's going to come to the point where he's going to go an all-out scale war with Lebanon. And when he gets enough backing, he's going to go after Iran.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And I believe he's going to try to level Damascus.
Yeah, and at some point in time, Russia's going to say enough's enough.
Well, Dave, and when you look at Daniel's prophecy in chapter 11, and I know most people when they speak English, they don't understand the Hebrew side of that, but I've always noticed there was one particular part, and I want to say it's around verse 44, if I remember right, in chapter 11 there. But this, and it's one that's very familiar with people. People are very, very used to this particular verse there because it talks about the time of the end shall the king of the south, and I think in English they put on there push at him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. But in Hebrew it doesn't say that. And it actually is speaking about the king of the Negev, which is the only place that you have a Negev at is in the country of Israel. And it actually says that the king of the north and the king of the south, he goes with him. Imo in Hebrew means with him. And you can't translate that as against him. It's not possible. So anyway, or to push at him, I should say. I think that's the way they translate it, as he pushes at him. But literally what it talks about, that king of the north, or the Melech HaTzafon, which means a hidden king, he comes over the king of the Negev, and he actually overthrows the countries, not Israel, but countries. It literally says in Hebrew, Baratzot, which is a plural form of that. So it's almost like there's a cooperation, and I've wondered if that's not a NATO alliance. But the reason why I bring this up too, though, Dave, is because you talk about Russia. In verse 44, it does say, "Tidings out of the east and out of the north shall affrighten him, and he shall go forth with great fury to destroy and utterly to make away many, or to kill as many as he possibly can." So it's almost as if this king of the Negev knows that he's limited on his time frame before Russia and China are going to step in and say, "Look, this we got to stop this." And I think that Putin is trying to hold back on it. In fact, a lot of people may not know this. When Iran's drones were shot down, it wasn't just the United States and Great Britain that participated in that. It was Russia as well.
Really?
Yes, Russia also engaged and shot down a lot of the drones with the United States and with
What
Great
would be the
Britain.
motivation for Putin to do that?
Because he still has, you got to remember, as Putin often says, he said 2 million of Israeli citizens are Russian citizens as well.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
And so he's always felt an obligation to protect the Russians that live in Israel.
I'm not a Putin apologist. But I look at, he has civil defense drills for his population. He doesn't embrace LGBTQ as a cult-like religion and force it down people's throats. He just lets people be. And then he's not embracing climate change nonsense. He's a hell of a lot better leader for his people than what we got, isn't he?
Oh, he is, and I agree with that. In fact, there was a friend of mine that I've had on several times on our broadcast here, Russell Bentley, who was in the eastern part of Ukraine, that was constant reporting on it. When he went missing, I knew that President Putin and Roy Jones Jr., the famous boxer here in America, were very good friends. And I have a good friend of mine that is very close to Roy. So I reached out to Roy to see if we couldn't try to secure his release, because I knew he'd been captured by the Azov Battalion in eastern Ukraine and that battle going on there. But they ended up killing him before we could get anything secured with him. But Putin would have actually done that. In fact, Putin actually gave Roy Jones citizenship, because he had such an admiration for Roy because of him being a boxer, and also Roy was in more defense of Putin over not so much the Ukraine war, but over the when he stepped in there to secure Crimea, as Roy considered it was part of the homeland of Russia, is what he said publicly, I believe.
That's really interesting. I've held on to this thought for a while, and just a theory, but when Trump came into office, he seemed like he had a decent relationship with Putin. Then all of a sudden, General Flynn's a casualty because he's a Russian collaborator. And then Trump is a Russian collaborator. And we went through that $35 million waste of money trying to prove it, which they never did. Do you think that was orchestrated by the left to keep Putin and Trump apart because a Russian-American alliance could thwart China, could thwart the New World Order? Is there anything to that? And is this why there's such an anti-Trump feeling to some degree? They don't want him in because they don't want him to align with Putin. And is this why Putin's being patient and not starting the Third World War, hoping Trump gets elected? What do you think?
I do believe that Putin's tried to hold back because of that, thinking that Trump will get back into office, or at least holding out that he might get into office. I mean, if you looked at it with Trump, even with Kim Jong-un, he actually got him to step back. And in reality, Dave, the thing is the New World Order does not have China, or excuse me, does not have Russia as that police of the world. They have China as the police of the world. So when they say that Trump has Russian collusion, did he have ties with Russia? Sure he did. In fact, I actually stood up for him a lot on that issue because what they called collusion, I'm like, they were trying to say this because before he became president, he was, there were some of his people reaching out to Putin at the time. And I thought to myself, and at the time I said, who cares? What's wrong with him reaching out with a world leader through some of his back channels before he becomes president? This is before he got elected the first time. I'm like, who cares? I mean, the man is fixing to become president. He's trying to get some kind of diplomatic ties started there. I get that. I don't, to me, that should not be considered collusion. That should be considered pretty savvy on his part to try to make some kind of a olive branch out there so that we don't end up in a more serious situation in the future. I mean, after all, we already had all this crazy stuff go down with Turkey and this alleged coup in Turkey, which was only used to smuggle some of our nukes out of Turkey and put them into Romania, which only infuriated the Russians. So Trump was already dealing with some serious problems, not to mention the Bidens. They were so deeply embedded inside of Ukraine and all their illegal activities. And, so there was a huge thing going on. In fact, I forget the guy's name now. I know that he finally, there's some public things came out because he tried to escape out of the country. And I never even followed to see what happened. But he was a Ukrainian politician that knew everything. And I was told about him, and I was given his private phone number to try to reach him and stuff. This was back before Russia ever even went into Ukraine. And at that time, I was being told, Steve, if you can get in touch with this politician, there's a good chance if you can expose what Hunter Biden and Joe Biden have done in that country there, it might keep Russia from having to come in an invasion into Ukraine. That's the kind of stuff I was being told, Dave, back before Russia even come into the country. And of course, he never would respond back to me. And I think it was just because he was fearful. There was so much going on. I mean, after all, we saw what happened during the Maidan back in 2014. And so much stuff is being orchestrated in the background. But, wow, yeah. So I do believe that they don't want Trump in because if Trump got in, it would be more of an alliance with Russia, with the factions there that they don't want to have alliances with. They want China to be in there. And I think Israel has a lot to do with that. And people don't realize how much Israel has to do with that.
Where does Israel come down on this? Are they, I think it's safe to say Netanyahu's New World Order. Would you agree?
He's definitely New World Order. And the thing is if you'll notice, Israel has sided with Kiev, Zelensky. And of course, there is a lot of debate about what Israel's involvement is with Ukraine and why they are trying to, or as Zelensky's even said, they're going to make Ukraine little Israel.
Saw that.
At the same time, Russia's involved in that, and that's the strange part of this is why Putin and Israel are basically butting heads when it comes to Ukraine because they're fighting on the opposite sides of the coin here, and yet both of them, both in fact, all three of them, Netanyahu, Zelensky, and Putin are all controlled by the Chabad organizations in their country. Now, Edward Trudeau, who is a former Chabad rabbi. He converted to Orthodox Christianity, Russian Orthodox Christianity, when he was in his mid-70s. But he was a rabbi for like almost 40 years. He was the mayor of Kharkiv, Ukraine. He actually came out and spoke about Putin when he coming into power, and that he was a cousin of a good friend, another friend of his, a Jewish politician in Israel. And talked about how that he would come in there and he was going to clean up all the oligarchs out of Russia, but he was basically going to install the Chabad organization in Russia. So it was only a change of power of who was controlling the country.
Exactly.
And he did it.
Stephen, we're almost out of time. I think it's safe to say that they accused Trump of doing what they're already doing. You know, remember the $1 billion deal with Biden? You won't get that billion unless you fire that prosecutor. And I'm going to send you this document. It's called the Prosecutor's Training Program. And I got this from someone who was high up in RSOF, a high-ranking general. And he made sure I got this from a source. And the meeting was January 18th to 24th of 2016. And they were training Ukrainian prosecutors how to prosecute Burisma and Rosemont Seneca without ensnaring American politicians or their family members. And it's all right here in writing. And I have all the who the trainers were, like Michael Horowitz, Bruce Schwartz, Ken Blanco. I'm going to send that to you. But we're kind of like midstream. I'm going to have you back because we need to continue this part because I want to ask you about infiltration in America and all the money laundering that's going on. I know you know about that. But before we go, tell people how they can follow your really good work.
IsraeliNewsLive.org is our website, and I should write articles. I don't, but like I should. But you can follow us there on YouTube as well. iConnectFX.com/IsraeliNewsLive. Anything Israeli News Live. If we're on Twitter, not too many social media outlets because I'm just not that crazy about them. We do have one on Facebook where we post a lot of news information there as well. But love to have you come over and visit with us.
No, yeah, we really want people to go to your site because there's so much information. You know, to kind of put a cap on it, and I hear what you're saying. All these diverse interests in Ukraine, fueled by the left, and you are so right on the money. But I like we're kind of like midstream. But people, if you take anything out of this, we got the wrong people running the government. The deep state's so entrenched. I don't know if we can get them out, but we can sure try. Stephen, thanks for being with us, my friend. For us to hook up on the other end, I'm going to need a few minutes for a reset on the equipment, and then I'll be in touch.
Sounds great, Dave. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Make sure you share this. We got a lot of people to wake up, so please do that. Great to be with you. We have a really short report. We're going to get into that because it has to do with outer space surveillance. I'm going to tell you where I'm going to go with it. I may do a series on the secret space program, which is not secret any longer, but a lot of what they do is very secret. But I know a lot about their beginnings, how they got started, and you know, I cheat because I had a really close inside source. And I'm thinking maybe we need to reopen that file. I've done a little bit on that in the past. But those files all disappeared on YouTube, so maybe it's time to revisit. It's interesting. First, before we go there, though, just wanted to let you know the Magic Dicol products are keeping me healthy, going strong. I got to tell you, I don't know where I'd be had I not had the spray. And then I'm able to do things athletically now. I think you need to investigate. If you got something that you're concerned about, go take a look. I want my health back.com/Dave Hodges. And I hope it does for you what it does for me. It's changed my life, absolutely changed my life. All right, I want to talk to you about what the Space Force has announced, and it went public. So they want people to know they're upset because China is putting a ton of satellites up in space. First of all, as you would expect, they can use it militarily to attack targets on the ground. Okay, that's number one. Their degree of sophistication and how good they are, and can they traverse the heat shield effect, which changes electromagnetic waves or dropping objects. It's a science. It's not known whether or not they have mastered that technology. We wouldn't know until a war started because they haven't tested it. I know this for a fact. Why? Because I cheat. I got someone on the inside. But what's public now, what they're saying is they're concerned about that, and they should be. But what they're really concerned about is they can track every human being on the earth. And you're going, holy crap, why? Think about it. US goes to civil war. Russia gets involved. Russia and the US fight. Russia's diminished. US is destroyed. China conquers Russia. China's the world policeman. And now they do the bidding of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. And who would they be tracking down? Oh, leaders that go into hiding, people like you and me that they don't want around, hunting down dissidents, breaking up plots of resistance. Things are about ready to get really interesting. How good is the technology that's out there right now in space? I don't know the definitive answer, but I can give you an answer that's probably within a 20-year period of accuracy. And I'll explain that when I follow up with the series. I think you're going to find it interesting. That's it for the Common Sense Show, and we'll see you back here again next time.